Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of Talking with Heroes, and your host for tonight's program. For those of you that are listening to us for the first time, you can learn about our recent audio and video programs. We've been doing a lot more video now on site at some of these military support groups. Go to www.thankyouforyourservice.us. And for those of you listening months, maybe weeks or months down the road, it'll bring you up to date on what's been happening with our other programs. And then our regular site is talkingwithheroes.com. So we've been on the air for a little over 10 years now. Our first program is December 2005. And during that time period, for about 6 years, I made 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan, going on missions with the troops and with a focus on the progress. And what's amazing to me is the last trip I got back was September 2011. So it's a number of years ago. And yet, on our YouTube page, we're over 2,000 consistently every month watching one or more of the videos. And hardly a week goes by, I don't get messages on some of these Iraq and Afghanistan videos. Sometimes it's family members finding their loved one for the first time. And the beauty of it is these videos, they were able to tell their story on video, and actually for people to watch and see what they were doing to help the people there. That was the site of Iraq and Afghanistan. Unfortunately, it wasn't covered too much by other media. So I'm really excited to see that. Plus, we have a lot of new videos. For the last 2 years, I agreed to an alliance with an alliance of military support groups, recreational therapy organizations. It's www.R4alliance.org. I've had the honor and the privilege to talk with on audio programs, but also do videos at some of their events. I think it's about 60 now, leaders, veterans, military families, caregivers, and leaders of these organizations. So many of them. We're going to find out here a little update on where they're at as far as how many members now. Last I heard, I think it was 75. It's just growing so fast. Recreational therapy really does work and help. So tonight we're scheduled to talk with two Vietnam veterans. William Potter likes to be called Potter, so I'll introduce him as Potter. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's also chairman of the board of the R4 Alliance. And also, hopefully we'll be calling in real soon from Hawaii, where he's at right now, another Vietnam veteran, it's Captain Gerald Coffey. He was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam for 7 years, 9 days, including Hanoi Hilton, and I had the pleasure of talking with him, the honor, just a little while ago, so hopefully he'll be calling in. But in the meantime, I would like to do now is introduce Potter. Welcome, sir, to the program, and thank you again for your service.
Hey, Bob, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and engage in your broadcast. It's a great service to everybody, not only in uniform, but those veterans and those folks that are interested in what's going on in the veteran space.
Absolutely.
Correct? I am a veteran. I was in the Vietnam era, and as was our guest, Jerry Coffey, who I hope will be joining us here in a few minutes. But anyway, I met Jerry about 10 years ago in San Diego when I was chairman of the Century Club, which is the organization that put on the golf tournament at Torrey Pines. And down there we had a military appreciation component, and that's where I met Jerry. And talked him in to coming in and addressing our one of our military appreciation lunches. And we had, in 2008, and Jerry just did an amazing job of talking to about 500 distinguished guests for the afternoon. And Jerry just blew everybody away. And since then, Jerry and I have become come fast friends. We've enjoyed each other both in the on the speaking tour and in social environments. Jerry wrote a book called Beyond Survival, which was the story of his ordeal being shot down over North Vietnam. And spending, as you said, 7 years and 9 days in the Hanoi Hilton. What I didn't realize when I read his book is that the backseater in his RA-5 recon aircraft was a high school buddy of mine. We played a lot of football together. Bob Hansen went on to the Naval Academy and graduated with honors and was in the backseat of this airplane when it got shot down. And Bob was killed that day. And we didn't get his remains back for over 23 years.
Wow!
Finally, with all the efforts put forth by the folks who wanted to return the fallen to home soil, we did find his remains. And Jerry, God bless him, traveled all the way from Hawaii to welcome his flight mate, back to the U.S. and helped with the honors of burying him. So it was quite a moving event. I wasn't there, but from all reports, it was terrific. I think Jerry might have joined us by now. Yes, Jerry, are you there?
He's actually tried to call in on my phone, but if I try to bring him on by switching over, I cut us off. Do you want to?
Okay, well,
I'll read a little bit about him. Do you want to try calling him?
Jerry.
So, folks, while Bill Potter's doing that.
414-3462.
Okay, he's getting the phone number here.
Yeah. You know, it's modern communication.
Okay, great.
It's not like hand grenades being close. You've got to be right on with this stuff.
Yeah, well, he was a little off on that, and I have been, too, with friends in Hawaii, the time difference. But while we're waiting for him to call in, tell us a little bit about R4 Alliance, how long it's been around, what you do, and where we're at on number of members today, too. And I think you have some new corporate sponsors, too.
We do. Things are really exciting. For the last 2 years, we've been doing nothing but building critical mass. And that critical mass now is 76, I believe, member organizations from around the country. We have operations in all 50 states and represent about 176,000 veterans. We are in the process of finishing up a research project with with Clemson University. They have some PhDs down there that deal specifically in recreational therapy, and we are about ready to prove the efficacy of recreational therapy for the treatment of TBI, PTS, and military sexual trauma, MSD. So we are really excited.
Absolutely.
To get this process finished, because this is going to be our anchor. This is going to be our pillar
Absolutely.
In the ground to prove the efficacy of what we're doing, and that we're on the right track and trying to get these I call them kids, because for me right now today everybody's a kid.
Me too. I turned 70 on September 2nd, so yeah, I agree with you. Hey, Jerry, Captain Gerald Coffey's on the line. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. I apologize for the delay.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're online right now, because. Because you can call me a kid, which is good.
That's right. Damn kid.
Well, Jerry, what I've done is I've kind of given them a background of how you and I met, and the wonderful wonderful experiences both professionally and socially that we've had, and I know we only have X amount of minutes. And there's no greater interview than you, So I'm going to turn it over to you and Bob and let you go at it, and maybe I'll have some closing comments when we're finished.
Okay, thanks for the groundwork, Potter. Appreciate it.
Yep. Well, thank you again for your service. I appreciate the time we've had on the phone now twice. Why don't you start out, tell a little bit about, going in the military and talk about what happened to you.
I got my diploma from UCLA the same time I got my draft notice in 1957. And I wanted to have a little more control over my life, so I looked at some of the alternatives that were still open to me. At that time, I liked the looks of naval aviation, and I liked the looks of the beaches at Pensacola, so I decided to go naval air, and that's how I made my 28-year career decision right at that point. Went to flight training and went to my first squadron, which was a reconnaissance squadron, flying the RF-8 Crusader off of the USS Saratoga, mostly in the Mediterranean Sea. Came back to shore duty in Central Florida and was a reconnaissance training instructor in the new A-5A Vigilante. Converted to the RA-5C, which at the time was the most advanced reconnaissance vehicle in the military, not counting the U-2 or the SR-70, and spent 3 years as a Reiki instructor and then went to deploy to Vietnam aboard the USS Kitty Hawk and was shot down over North Vietnam February the 4th of 1966. And then that's how I got there in the first place. I spent most of my time go ahead, Bob.
No, go, please.
Okay, I spent most of my time at Hoa Lo Prison in downtown Hanoi, North Vietnam, the prison that was ultimately dubbed as the Hanoi Hilton, mostly by our media, and was moved around several places in and around Hanoi, a couple of satellite prisons on the outskirts, and ended up, we were all very optimistic when we were first shot down. Oh, we're going to be out of here in less than a year, But it ended up that I spent 7 years and 9 days there before the Paris Peace Accords were finally fruitful, which pertained to our release, and returned home on the 12th of February, 1973. Excuse me, 1973.
Okay. Do you have any experiences there that you want to share?
Well, the whole thing was quite an experience, Bob, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
We looked at it as a different kind of combat. We never thought of ourselves as being out of combat. It was just on a different plane. We all tried our best to follow the American Fighting Man's Code of Conduct, which are six brief articles that prescribe a behavior like a checklist. And I think that we all did a pretty good job of doing that. And the Code of Conduct was devised to help you keep faith in yourself and your country and your fellow POWs, faith in yourself to minimize your value to the enemy, because they looked at us as propaganda resources to be exploited, and they never, ever let us forget that, and they tried the entire time that we were there to exploit us for whatever value we may have been to them, for making statements, for making movies, for making radio broadcasts, for meeting with foreign dignitaries, quote unquote. And so it was just a 7 years of a cat and mouse game to, like I said, to minimize our value to them so that we would be able to foil their efforts to exploit us for anything positive from their point of view. It was an incredible experience, an experience of self-knowledge, of learning, of camaraderie, of appreciation for everything that makes our country so great. Every day that I was there, I was convinced all the more that we were right to be there in the pursuit of that cause, to help the Vietnamese people maintain their freedom and not be taken over by a communist dictatorship. We supported one another to the hilt, and we devised a tap code that we could tap on the walls of the cell and communicate with the men in the adjacent cell. And that little tap code, which is based upon 25 letters of our alphabet, not Morse code, enabled us to to share with one another, to take care of each other, to encourage one another, to pass information pertinent to the war effort, or information pertinent to other men's families, as men who might have been in a squadron and were shot down later than the other guy, and could give a guy a rundown on the status of the guy's family, the guy that might have been there for a long time already. And it was like a small military unit in a communist prison. We organized ourselves along the chain of command with the commanding officer, executive officer, operations officer, and so on down through a squadron. Every billet was filled by some man, someone who accepted that responsibility. When we were finally released on the 12th of February, 1973, we walked out of Wallow Prison with our heads held high. And we, at that time, of course, we thought we had won the Vietnam War. And in reality, we had. Our politicians gave it away after we all came home. And that was probably one of the most difficult aspects of the whole experience with which to deal. We still have a very loose organization, have reunions maybe every 2 or 3 years. And are looking forward to next spring, when we hope to have the nominally speaking, the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. And it's not a celebration, it's a commemoration. And it's going to be held in Hawaii. And I can tell anybody more about that who might want to know. So that's it in a nutshell, Bob. When I was shot down, I had to eject from my RA-5C at very high speed, as in 600 miles per hour. I was injured badly. The airplane was rolling totally out of control due to hydraulic failure. When I regained consciousness, I was floating in the water in a small bay near Vinh City in central North Vietnam. Picked up almost immediately and immediately strafed by our own airplane, not realizing that I was in the boat that they had picked me up in. And I can remember pulling myself up along the shallow gunwale of that little boat and watching the A-1 Sky Raiders roll in and fire 50-millimeter slugs at us, which made big plumes of water as they bracketed the boat that I was in. My crewman, Lieutenant Junior Grade Robert Hansen of Toledo, Ohio, was killed sometime in that battle for our capture. I don't know exactly how, but I never saw him again. After seeing him moving in the water, so that he survived the ejection, just as I did, but he didn't survive the rescue. So that was how I got there. And like I said, we were released on the 12th of February, 1973, and walked out of that prison with our heads held high, because we had taken good care of each other and ourselves, and as much as we possibly could have made a totally negative experience, life experience, into a positive. Most men, hardly with the exception, looked at that experience as a growing experience, and we walked out of it proudly and with the sense of a job well done.
You know, let me interject something here. In that I mentioned that Jerry and I have developed a marvelous personal relationship, both Jerry's wife Susan and my wife Linda, and we had Jerry and Susan in Sun Valley several years ago, and Jerry, we need to have a repeat there.
Oh, we sure do. Somewhere.
But Jerry was out on the porch one morning, and we were kind of reminiscing about Vietnam and the whole thing, and I'm just kind of shaking my head as to the stories that he's got of survival in this, in this confined environment. And he looks at me right in the eye and he says, "You know, Potter," he says, "if I wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't be here." And I'm going, "Whoa, sure. Was that poignant?" but
that's right.
He's always, he never misses an opportunity to reflect back on those experiences and what has made him the man that he is today, and I rejoice every time I get a chance to be with him, and respect him fully for his service. Now, between the time that he was he was captured, and by the time he all his you know, his comrades were released, the population of that prison grew from what to what, Jerry?
From, well, I was number 65, and by the time we were released, we were numbered in the high 600s.
So that's a significant
yeah.
growth in population, and obviously
yeah.
the Vietnamese had a difficult time managing this growth.
We celebrated little successes, and that was mostly through our communication system, and the North Vietnamese had no idea how extensive it was and how well we kept track of each other, and it was their policy to try to make every American think that they were there by themselves, and in order to facilitate that, you went for months and months in solitary confinement before you were awarded your first cellmate, and even then they tried to keep us from seeing any other American POWs because it was to their advantage to make us believe that we were the only ones there, and if that had been the case, of course, it would have been an impact on our morale. But we went to great extremes to take care of each other. I mean, we used our comm system to teach each other anything that any man who had anything to pass on and that would be enriching did so. We passed on reams and reams of poetry that men had memorized from their youth. One guy's mother had made him learn a new poem to recite at the annual Thanksgiving family reunion, and he retained all that poetry, and he passed to us some of the classic poems of Rudyard Kipling. Robert Service, it was like a small university in downtown Hanoi. It's just that that our captors had no idea that we were manipulating the system as well as we did to stay in touch with one another. Of course, it was important to keep track of each other because we felt that at the time of release, whenever that might be, that they would try to hold some men back, and indeed they did. So we memorized the names of every other POW as we were apprised of them. Every time a new man came into the system and made contact with somebody who was already there, his name would be tucked away into the list of names of POWs, and we all were committed to memorizing that list, and we did. There was a young seaman who was shot down, not shot down, he was a young seaman on the cruiser Canberra in the Tonkin Gulf, and one night he came up out of the mess decks and right under a 5-inch gun that went off right over his head. He didn't read the plan of the day that day and didn't know that they were going to be shelling. So he was knocked overboard by the concussion and treaded water all night long and was picked up by North Vietnamese fishermen the next day and turned over to the authorities, and he became one of us. Most of the rest of us were officers, with the exception of a few medics on rescue helicopters that were shot down also. But Doug Hegdahl was a very resourceful young man, and he memorized the list of the names, but he could only recite them to the tune of Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And so when he came back and was debriefed by our intelligence people, he had to sing the names to them and Old MacDonald Had a Farm. But he just did a super job of however you had to do it, he did it. And he was able to pass the names of every known POW during the 6 years or so that he was incarcerated.
Talk a little bit about your book, Beyond Survival. Potter mentioned it in the beginning. So I hear what you said, that faith kept you alive during the darkest day of your captivity. Talk a little bit about your book.
It did. And one of my favorite poems was the poem Invictus, that talks about the invincibility of the human spirit. And in fact, I have that line on my business card, reinforcing the invincibility of the human spirit. And that was from the poem Invictus, and from a movie by the same name. We used to the very best of our ability. We used that disadvantage to our advantage, and it kept us with a sense of mission and a sense of purpose. And we would exercise every day to keep busy and keep in shape physically. We had a when we were later on, when we were kept in large cell bays of maybe 25 to 30 men per cell bay, we organized ourselves into a community, and we had a Toastmasters club to hone our speaking skills, because we realized that when we came home, we'd have a unique opportunity to tell our fellow Americans about this experience and to spread our sense of pride and accomplishment that we were able to come home with. And everything that was there, we had a very strong religious component as well. I survived because of having faith in myself, faith in my fellow POWs, faith in my country, America, and faith in my God. About four years or so into the experience, I saw scratched on the wall of the cell by another American POW who had been there before me, God with an equal sign, strength. God equals strength. And for me, that really worked. And I never forgot that. And we always maintained a spiritual component of our survival as well.
So how'd you get involved with R4 Alliance? I've seen so many people I've met who are for veterans helping veterans. Talk about your experience with R4 Alliance.
Yes, actually I have Potter to thank for that, and it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. I'm very active here in Hawaii and speaking to the residential classes at Tripler Army Hospital, which has a PTSD course about every 3 months. He starts a new one, and because it's residential, it's very intense, and educated myself on the reasons for PTSD and what the symptoms are and the best ways to overcome it. So I've talked with veterans here in Hawaii, mostly through the Tripler programs, Tripler Army Hospital programs, and we have a very close-knit cohort of Vietnam veterans here in Hawaii, and we're gearing up for a big celebration in the spring of next year, whereby we will be celebrating nominally the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. And so I stay involved in things like that and in close touch with many of my fellow POWs, the guys with whom I was the closest during that time. The very first POW shot down was a young California guy named Everett Alvarez. He was flying an A-4 Skyhawk and was shot down in the initial raids on Haiphong Harbor after the Tonkin Gulf incident. And Ev and I have become very, very close friends, as well as a Marine Colonel Orson Swindle. He lives in Washington, D.C., got into politics and was appointed one of justices of a major court in Washington, D.C., recently retired in Colorado. There's some of us, naturally gravitated toward each other. John McCain and I were in the same cell block for several months, and he and I became close friends, sitting up late at night and talking about experiences from our youth and trading ideas and entertaining one another. In a large cell bay like that, every Saturday night we'd appoint somebody to tell a movie, and we'd all gather in one corner of that big cell bay and pretend like we were eating popcorn while one guy would tell a movie. To tell a movie doesn't do it justice, because he would arrange for some other POWs to sing songs that were pertinent to that movie and actually act out a few scenes. So we entertained ourselves and took good care of each other all that time. We're very, very close-knit in the Hanoi Hilton, and we remain very close-knit after our release in here on a daily basis.
Let me interject another
Potter,
thing here. We've been very fortunate to attract quality people like Jerry with stories to tell. Jerry's is obviously one of the more dramatic, only because of his 7 years and 9 days in the Hanoi Hilton. And, there were only 700 plus that of Jerry's cellmates who had to experience that kind of thing. But the R4 Alliance has been able to attract some real quality people and some real quality organizations that are making an impact all across this country. Give you a good example of the quality that we've attracted. In 2014, operationally, the organizations that have joined the R4 Alliance raised from the private sector in excess of $43 million to benefit the veterans that are suffering basically from TBI, PTS, polytrauma, and MST. So it's just a real quality organization. Like I said earlier, we've been underneath the radar for 2 years building this critical mass. In 2016, 2017, we're going to experience a breakout. I think I mentioned earlier we are concluding this research project with Clemson University. But in the interim, when we first started this project with about maybe 10 recreational therapy organizations are now close to 70, now over 76. We have put our hands on over 80 research articles and papers that have been produced and or in different maturities of production, and we have created what we call a quiver of research arrows that or a library that we are going to hand over to the VA, so they will have a library of things that we've been able to put our hands on, and again, all created by quality individuals and quality organizations that are the backbone of what the R4 Alliance is all about. So we're pretty proud of all that, and we can't thank Jerry enough for his individual and his networking ability to help us grow this critical mass.
Well, you know, Bob Potter himself is no slouch at making contacts, and he is very very responsible for much of the R4 Alliance success. It's just the way that he is. I mean, he sees a need and he's one of the first to step in, and he uses his good fortune in whatever endeavor he might be involved in at that time to share it with the greater for the greater good, certainly. And it's people like him, which if it weren't for people like him, there wouldn't be such things as the R4 Alliance. And the multitude of large and small organizations all over our country who have dedicated themselves and their resources to the well-being of American veterans.
I'm blushing,
absolutely.
Jerry.
Yes.
You owe me, Potter.
I guess I do. You're one up.
Well, I have the opportunity again, thanks to your team, Potter, your R4 Alliance, Chip and Bert and everybody, to be at the next 2016 R4 Alliance National Conference. And we're going to have a lot of video episodes where people across America can meet the men and women you're talking about.
Well, we look forward to having you down there. We're going to do it in the Villages, Florida again one more time. And then we've already selected the date for 2017. We're going to be at Beaver Hollow up in Buffalo, New York. So we look forward to that event.
Oh, you are going up there.
We are going to do that. Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's a beautiful place up there.
I can't wait to get to see it. I can't wait to see it because I've heard so many marvelous things about it, and get to meet the people that put that thing together and experience the campus. So maybe we can talk to Jerry to. To come all the way from Hawaii to enjoy the fall in Buffalo, New York.
Things like turning leaves would be a real turn on for me.
Yeah, we might want to talk about their gathering next year too, Potter, about getting a couple of us over there to do interviews.
I'm sorry?
They're gathering of Vietnam veterans that were in prison there.
You bet. You bet.
That's
certainly on my bucket list. So we're gonna see if we can make that happen, because that's gonna be a worthwhile experience.
Absolutely.
I just want all these guys to hang on to their health and enjoy the time that they got, because they certainly deserve it.
Definitely. So, any last comments you want to make to people listening, especially the veterans and military families, both of you?
You know, I think our country had a guilt complex, and well-deserved, I might say, the way Vietnam veterans were treated when they first came home. And with our more recent experiences with combat and new veterans coming along all the time, I think we've learned our lesson. It was a hard lesson on a lot of people, but I think we have learned our lesson in how to treat our veterans when they come home. And the R4 Alliance is a perfect example of people coming together to unite their resources and their talents to help veterans come back home and feel appreciated at the least, and at most to be helped out when needed. So I think that the R4 Alliance is a great example of how much our country has learned in taking good care of our veterans after their active service.
You know, truer words really can't be spoken, in that I fit right in that profile. I was drafted. I wanted to make, like Jerry, I wanted to make the best of this thing I could, so I ended up being trained as a combat engineer at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and then had a stateside deployment, and then had a stint in Vietnam. By the time Jerry was captured, by the time he was released, we probably put 6 million GIs through the theater, trying to figure out a way to end this thing and get and have the byproduct of getting Jerry and his fellow POWs released. And that mission was finally accomplished, but again, the politicians gave it away, when it was all over. But I got to tell you, I was totally unfulfilled, having been deployed, decorated, came home, couldn't take my uniform off fast enough. And not until 6 or 7 years ago, when I saw the DOD and the VA kind of looking at this TBI, PTS phenomena that was was surfacing, was I motivated to get involved again. But it reminded me of the way that they had looked at Agent Orange, that paraquat that we were using to defoliate the jungles, and there were some strange cancers that started to appear from my fellow comrades in arms. And first the DOD denied that there was any connection, and then science proved that to be wrong. By the time science did catch up with it, the DOD and the VA the cat was out of the bag, and they were overwhelmed with the amount of cases, and as a result they didn't manage it very well. And so I just couldn't sit back and let the same thing happen again with this TBI, PTS, MST, and polytrauma. So that's how I got involved, and I'm getting some fulfillment. Matter of fact, a lot of fulfillment out of what I'm doing now in my senior year. So, and every time I get to talk to Jerry, he just keeps reminding me, I keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do.
Yeah.
Listen, Bob, also I want to pass on to your listening audience about the fallacy of Vietnam being a useless and an unnecessary war, a war that cost a lot of lives and a lot of treasure. And so many people have fallen for that old mantra about the wrong war at the wrong time. We should have never been there in the first place. And I think nothing could be further from the truth. When you stop and think that in the first place, we ought to be very proud of our military for their job that we did. We never lost a major military engagement the whole time we were in Vietnam, a major engagement for sure. And, the domino theory is just as true for Vietnam as it was in Eastern Europe, where it became popular. And if North Vietnam had been left to not have to survive the war and were let loose, the entire Southeast Asian peninsula would have fallen to communism. There was already a great deal of communist activity in Indonesia and Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, possibly the Philippines, all would have been vulnerable to the menace of communism during that time. But because we were able to nip it in the bud in Vietnam, and we kept them occupied for those 7 or 8 years that they would have otherwise been marching down through Southeast Asia, we changed the entire face of that part of the world. And that's something that doesn't go said very often, and for which we should all feel very proud. Millions of people in Southeast Asia today are living in relatively free and profitable and productive countries and political systems because of our 12 years of holding action there in South Vietnam.
There you have it.
I appreciate what you've all shared. Did you say there you have it, Potter?
There you have it. He couldn't say it any better. Like I told you, it was a great interview.
Yes. So before we close, I always, you know me, Potter, I always like to close with people on the air giving a shout-out to our troops right now that are active duty, especially, you know, we have a growing number now in Iraq and Afghanistan and other areas in harm's way. Would you like to give a shout-out to them, both of you?
Yeah, hang in there, guys. We're so proud of you. And don't ever get discouraged about what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. I know because I saw communism, the face of the enemy, up close and personal for 7 years and 9 days. And we're right to be there doing what we're doing. Doesn't matter if it's Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan or where we might end up in the Middle East. We're there because we have to be.
And then I will reiterate that freedom and liberty obviously is not free. We are still the leader of the free world. We will maintain that position for decades and hopefully centuries to come, but it comes at a price. And the price is putting on the uniform of the United States military and going off to those strange places where you're going to run into a lot of adversarial folks that think differently than we do. But just remember that what you do is protects our way of life here and the freedoms and liberties that are enjoyed by free folks all over the world because of your service and your sacrifice. And when you come home and you take off that uniform, I want you to know that the private sector is here to help you through the R4 Alliance or the other organizations around the country. We're here to help you get yourself reintegrated into the private sector. So just keep that in mind, and you know you can dial us up at any time, whether you're in uniform or out of uniform, to get some advice on how to get reintegrated.
Thank you, both of you. Potter, I look forward to seeing you in Florida next month. And Jerry, I look forward to meeting you one of these days in person.
Likewise, Bob. Thank you for being the vehicle by which we're able to spread the word like this. It's, every veteran deserves and needs encouragement, sometimes more, sometimes less. And if we can be the vehicle by which they're encouraged to continue to make the sacrifices that they sometimes have to simply reintegrate, you're doing a great job for all of us, Bob. Thank you so much. Potter, good to be on the air with you, my friend.
Always, Jerry. We'll be talking.
Life right on.
Okay.
My best.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. God bless you.
You bet. Good night, Bobby.
Well, folks, aloha. You've been listening on TalkingWithHeroes.com. Thank you for your service.us. To find out more about R4 Alliance, go to www.4alliance.org. Click on that member tab at the top, and you'll see the 76 military support groups across the country that Potter was talking about earlier. Some of these organizations now have hundreds of chapters across the country. When I first heard about this, I wondered how could recreational therapy help, but it is. And the studies come out from Clemson University. The facts are there. The facts are going to come out. But the veterans, the military families, the caregivers who have been able to experience these, including in my own family, they know it works. So getting the word out, that's something I always ask. That's how it's spreading. That's how over 376,000 now have watched one or more of our videos on YouTube, word of mouth, people telling other people. So much powerful information and the stories that we've heard today need to be heard across the country through the military, families, and the communities, the veterans, and the veterans post across America. Please share this video with everybody you can. You'll see posts about this on Facebook, on our Talking with Heroes page, Talking with Heroes program page. You'll see it on the R4 Alliance Facebook page, and you'll see it on Twitter. You'll find R4 Alliance on Twitter. You'll find Talk with Heroes on Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+. If you're on any of those social media pages, please check them out and share those posts, tweet those posts. Let's get together. Let's join forces. Let's get these stories out to other people. So before I close, I want to also give a shout-out, first of all, to all our veterans and your families and our first responders and families. Thank you for your service to the United States of America. And to all those men and women who are still serving, first, thank you for your families. But those who are still serving and maybe in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. God bless you. We look forward to you coming home real soon. God bless America.